Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-a-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. We were just taking a trip down memory lane here.
Watching some good old commercials.
Yeah. Our boss, Jeff Austin, was in here. And we were talking about commercials. Because I found this guy on Instagram who's a comedian. I'll probably have to send this to Ortner so he can pull it and we can play the audio later.
Yes.
Because there was a comedian just in Portland. And he ripped an incredible ad for a company that I don't think he even knows. But it took us back down the road of the Red House furniture store, which when that came into the 1080 The Fan orbit was when I was producing Primetime with Isaac and Suk. And the Red House is where white people and black people buy furniture.
Still a thing, apparently.
Hopefully. I don't know. It's a really old commercial, but
I don't think it's that old though.
I mean,
it's old, but it's not. Yeah. We're not talking about civil rights movement.
15 years ago.
Yeah. Is that what the ad actually says?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
that's a real ad.
Yeah, it's got
by
to be
a
in the
local
system.
Person.
No, it's in North Carolina.
North Carolina.
You can look it up in the system. We probably still have Red House, but their jingle is at the Red House. Where white people and black people buy furniture. And it was a very catchy jingle that they had. And it was, golly, that was 15 years ago that this thing got posted. They have 7.9 million views on YouTube for a furniture store in North Carolina. How about that?
I mean, it works.
Yeah.
It's the guerrilla marketing.
Yeah.
And there's certain points, like the audio of it is incredible, but the actual video, like there's one part where one of the people just kind of like finishes what he's saying and you can see him like look off screen like, are we good?
Yeah.
And there's
that's Big Head.
Yeah.
That's Big Head, who's black and loves moving furniture into people's homes.
Yes. And then as he finishes that, he kind of like, you see him like look off camera like to.
Is that good?
To direct,
did we do
like, we good here? And there's no editing. There's no, it's just there. Instead of
play this here real quick.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's the simplicity of it all.
Yeah, you got it. I thought you said you have it. Play it.
Can't we all just get along
at the Red House Furniture?
We can
at the Red House. Wait, this is a good commercial.
I'm Richard, aka Big Head. I work at the Red House, and I'm black.
At the Red
I
House.
Like pumping iron and pumping furniture into people's homes.
10 gauge, here it comes.
I'm Johnny, aka 10 gauge. I work at the Red House and I'm white. I like deer hunting, bass fishing, and extending credit to all people.
at the Red House.
I'm black and I love the Red House.
I'm white and I love the Red House.
I'm a black woman.
Brings
and
everybody
I love
together.
The Red House.
I am white, and the Red House white. Is for me.
It is for me.
The Red House.
What a great.
great commercial.
This is where Step Brothers got prestige.
Look at the sofa. It's perfect for a black person or a white person.
Or all
mattress is perfect for a white person or a black person.
At the Red House, where black people and white people buy furniture.
Buy furniture.
And Hispanic people, too.
So, that commercial is now 15 years old.
Oh, that's that last and Hispanic people too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh God.
So we were we
Can
were,
you imagine this commercial being made today?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a unifying commercial.
Oh God.
I mean, I think they would have to include all races and ethnicities now. But I think 15 years ago, we got the point that it's a furniture store for everybody in North Carolina, apparently. I was floored the first time I saw that. And boy, the Red House really took over these airwaves for quite some time after that. It is really odd, the things that will catch fire with our listeners and our hosts, for that matter. But the Red House was, at one point, the Red House unknowingly sponsored the club.
There you go. Brought to you by the Red House?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it did.
There are some
racial
pretty,
unity.
There's some pretty good ads. Have you guys heard Dr. Snip?
No.
This is an
I
ad
think I
that
know where this is going.
This yeah. is an ad that was playing.
Is it coupons?
No. On 910. Would you like to hear it?
Of course. Duh.
This is an ad for all those guys who are happily married to lovely wives and want to increase their intimacy. Fellas, let's talk about vasectomy. Dr. Snip
no.
has you covered. Once you're done, perform uncovered. After this, you're the ultimate lover, and you got Snip because you love her. Easy to schedule. Real quick, a single appointment does the trick. Trust me, it's worth the trip. Just take a drive over to Dr. Snip. Dr. Snip accepts all major insurances, including Medicaid.
Really? That was on...
That was on 910.
That was on 910?
That used to play on Pilot Games, and it would make me laugh.
Yo, that's pretty good. Also, it's all the thing it's missing is... it's they should have... The last part of that should have been the producer tag.
That... Yeah. DJ Khaled! Right at the end of it. Another one. Wow. I didn't know that that was a thing. That's incredible.
I have it permanently saved. It's in a folder.
I could see you had that real quick to bring up. Holy guacamole. All right. I don't know. That's a start to a show. Rust is out, if you guys couldn't gather that by the fact that Will Ortner's over there. The gunk is going around. Rust got sick. I think it was the power of his hair.
Thought you were talking about Dr. Snip again.
No, no. I think it was the power of his hair. He came in clean shaven yesterday, and nothing left to catch all those germs. So he ended up going to get it. Yeah, like here we go. Outrageous audio. That guy, tweet us for a buck. That guy was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's still... The Rip City Remix got him to do their calendar release.
Sweet.
Their schedule release this year.
Oh, and yeah, I remember that. That
was
good.
Incredible.
Tom Peterson and Glorious 2. Yeah, that was a good one. Well, and then we have Subaru had the Trunk Monkey. Remember those?
Yes, that was from here. It was Lithia, wasn't it?
No, it was Suburban.
Was Suburban Auto Group? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what
but
it was.
But I know it was one of the... It originated from the Northwest, Dude. And then it went to the national ads.
Yeah, the Trunk Monkey was incredible. It was like...
It was a Super Bowl
I think
ad.
It won ad of the year.
I think it won multiple ads of the year.
But like, that was really good. That was local.
We haven't had a good beer commercial in a while.
No. Well, I mean, there's nothing that... I think they just stopped after Ray.
Gillis is not bad.
Near beer.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, no, honestly...
Wait,
that's
Gillis
a, yeah.
doing the
he's
Fireball?
Doing Bud Light. No, he's doing Bud Lights.
Yeah, oh, no, wait, he did the Sharing a Secret one.
Yeah, that it's with his buddy Gerby.
That one's pretty good.
And then the other one where he's like accidentally in a cologne commercial and the cologne guy ends up at the bar.
Yeah.
Those are funny.
Is it?
Yeah, but those aren't as... I mean, this isn't...
Stavros and Santino and
Stavros Halkias. Yeah.
They do the fireball.
Yes,
ad.
Those are good.
Shaved
that's
eyebrows.
Okay. Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, that's not bad. What we need though is like those are all national ads. We need local jingles back. Like
yes.
Local jingles.
Jingles.
Are great.
It's you see it like on like TikTok and mm-hmm. and Reels and stuff like that. The Colts guy. Remember the Colts?
Oh, yeah, the Colts song guy.
Colts song guy?
Yeah.
It's so terrible, but guess what? It absolutely lives rent-free forever. Jingles are still like the most... Yeah.
That fan guy. Of the year.
He was at their last game of the year, I think.
He was the fan of the year. They honored him.
As they should. No, I mean, no other fans making songs every week for their opponent.
Yeah.
Telling the Broncos who the real horsies are of the NFL.
Unbelievable.
That guy rocks, dude.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah. I would love to know if it's real.
Seth?
Like no, like if that person is actually that person or if it's all a bit.
Good question. I lean towards it being real.
I think he's real.
Which, I think most are fake, but that one seems very real.
Which is why it hurts so much to watch.
Oh, we went different ways with that because I was like, that's why it's awesome to watch.
I followed him for football season.
Did you?
He's unfollowed now.
All 17 weeks, you got him?
Well, I
got
to hear the new hits.
Well, wait till you get the draft one. Ooh, yeah, George Moreland's got a good one. The Water Heater King.
Oh, yeah. Well, they also just kind of like own the water heater game in general.
Well, like, I've said this before.
Quick, think of another water heater store.
Well, I don't.
Good luck.
But
Grover?
If you go, if you go there with any, like, I have had the best, I will drive to Tigard from, Hillsboro, where I live, and I will drive there if I have any plumbing questions, because they're awesome. God, here are free ads here.
No, you're not wrong.
They're great customer service.
Well, they're people who actually work in the industry.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, and again, like those local jingle been around, like, the old-timey Ace Hardware store. Like, not the pop-ups that are all everywhere now, but, like, the people that worked in there, and the guy in there is, like, 75 years old,
like,
and he was a handyman for
like
50
years.
Like,
how it used to be, like, Dale's True Value.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And you're, like, and you'd go in there and talk to Dale.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Dale's son.
That's right.
Or Dale's dirtbag brother-in-law.
My other brother, Dale.
Yeah.
My brother, Daryl. My other brother, Dale, and my other brother, Daryl.
But yeah, those mom and pops, the jingles that it's a bummer. We were talking about this the other day with the local burger place. There's no like local like it's all chains now. There's no local burger spot really anymore.
Well, there are. There's not, a lot of them.
No, there's not.
Are you talking fast food?
No, I'm talking about like the mom and pop like.
I will give you Redland Cafe, Carver Hangar, Helvetia Tavern. Stanich's is gone, but they renamed it. They kind of had a pseudo rebrand.
Would
to
Burgerville
something.
Count in that?
No.
No.
But Burgerville is local. It was created local.
There's some really, we actually have really good local burger places. We do. And I think we take that one for granted. Was it Giant? And then you have the one, what's the one over off of a Capitol Highway there? Somebody's gonna go.
Oh, don't get wrong. There's good burger places here, but I'm talking like the traditional like drive-in style mom and pop. Don't get me wrong. Like we've got some like a burger game in Portland.
Mike's
strong.
Drive-in. Mike's.
Where's that at?
They have one in Oregon City, one in Selwood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two regions that I do not frequent.
Great milkshakes.
Guess I'm gonna find out where Selwood
Elite.
Is.
Wait, what?
I don't know streets.
Selwood's a neighborhood, man.
You think I know neighborhoods if I don't know streets?
God, that's tough.
I don't even know avenues.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Charburger in Beaverton. You know Charburger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, is it still open? I thought they closed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was just down the street from my house. I thought it closed for some reason.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so we still got some good. You know what we need to do? You just need to be reminded of them, like
jingles.
In your mind, like and when you brought up like name another water heater place, it's like, well, I don't know. I know the one that has a catchy ass jingle. That's the one that I know because
hey, Charburger's still around. All right,
they,
cool.
They sing it to me on the radios and on the TVs. Yeah, I'm in. Yeah, I'm in on it, but. To your point, text her on Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. It's not like back in the day. I think we've all just been programmed like, they're still there. We're just all programmed to go to the places that, like, instead of going to one of the local places, you're programmed to go to Shake Shack, Five Guys,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now that there's actual levels to, like, I guess I don't want to call it the fanciness, but like there's levels to the quality of fast food now.
I'd much rather go to the mom and pop
places. I would too.
Much rather go to mom and pop. Somebody brought up Gem 100 in Newburgh. And that's it's staffed by like all of the high school and college kids. But the only downside is it's just packed.
Yeah.
All the time. I mean, it's more of like the ice cream spot that has food than the food spot that has ice cream.
Yeah.
But it is a nostalgic little place.
Yeah.
Rules.
This one comes in too. Scotty's Driving in Forest Grove. That place is good. Like, if you want to have, like, your support the local business, I used to do this all the time when I was a kid with my dad. We'd go to Scotty's Drive-In, and then we'd go to Fry's Athletics. It was, like, the only athletic store around. So you'd go to...
Wait, was this... Is it
it's like
part
a sporting
of the,
goods store.
Was it the same chain as the Fry's Electronics?
It's not a chain.
It's not
a chain at all.
Because Fry's, if you remember the Wilsonville Electronics Store, their grocery stores and more... Or they were in like Arizona and I want to say San Diego.
Oh,
it was a weird breakup. But like when you said Fry's, that was the first thing I thought of. Was
no, that. No. This is just a sporting goods store, just your local spot.
That's what doesn't happen anymore. Is a standalone sporting goods store.
I like, miss Athlete's Corner.
Yeah, me too. I don't know what that is, but
that's a Vancouver thing. You got to come to our side of the river.
Mm. Yep. Ooh. Is Play It Again still open?
Yes.
Probably mostly on the internet.
Right?
Yeah, probably mostly on the internet.
That was
it's called eBay.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Alf's in McMinnville. There's a little burger place right next to Linfield's campus. They have a monkey.
Not anymore.
What?
Monkey's gone.
What?
Yeah,
wife
and I went out there beginning of the summer.
RIP monkey.
So we never go like further west from Newburgh. So we're like, hey, let's go to McMinnville and go see what's out there.
Dang.
And we hit that place up one weekend, and then there's a brewery there that's got some pretty good food. But,
oh, all right.
That's kind of what I had in my mind was that spot.
Yeah.
And that the burger there is so covered in butter. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
Like the bun, the burger, everything about it. Love
it. It's great. People are saying like old sporting goods stores. So the only two locals that I know, and look, local sporting goods stores, they're awesome. Mm-hmm. Bashers is another great one.
Oh, yeah.
In Portland. They're still here. They're still
the Lake O
over
one's
on
gone,
the
right?
east side. I don't know if they're still in Lake O. Don't venture that way very often. But Bashers was great. That's where I got my Letterman sweater.
Really?
Yeah.
You went sweater, huh?
Mm-hmm. I went sweater. Did not go jacket. Went Letterman's sweater.
Ours was, everybody went to a spot in Beaverton.
Yeah.
Athlete's Corner for
us. Well, there was only one place that you could get a Letterman's sweater, and it was Bashers, because they could do it all. Mm. And so I went sweater. It was a bold move, but I'm happy with my decision. I'm very happy with my decision.
It appears that, yes, the only one that is left is the... The one on Interstate.
Hot dang. All right. Well.
That's where I got my baseball gear from. I remember getting my mitts there.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
You go down there, you spend a lot of time picking out that mitt.
Yeah. That's where I got my Nakona. Got a just awesome baseball glove.
There you go.
All right. There's something special about picking out your baseball glove. That's like more of a summer topic of like the rites of passage. Picking out your baseball glove is one of them.
Yeah. You had to make sure you get the right player model.
That's what you went with?
A2K, baby.
Well, back then, yeah.
It was, I remember, it was a whole deal. It was about quality of longevity, because you hit like 11 or 12, you could use that glove
for a couple
like
years.
You could use it for the rest of your life, because you're getting a full-size glove at that point,
unless
right?
You're me with little tiny hands.
And why would that matter? Wouldn't that mean that you have...
I had to grow into mine.
Huh?
I had small hands.
You would use your 10-year-old glove for the rest of your life.
I was a little man.
Yeah. But you could get your good glove. So it was all about, you know, could you bend it?
Mm-hmm.
How long does it break in? Heart of the hide was a big one when you're getting a Rawlings glove. Like, baseball gloves are awesome.
And then the process that you use to break it. In.
Oh, yeah.
The tried and true family methods.
Well, absolutely. And if part of your family method is not putting a baseball in the glove, rubber banding it up, and then putting it under your mattress, something's wrong with you. And just sleeping horrible for an entire night. But you know what?
Your hip is completely up. But
you you wake up the next morning and you couldn't be more excited after that horrible night of sleep.
Because that mitt's starting to shape, baby.
All right. Hey, sports show. Let's get to it. We got...
we're sports adjacent.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We got... We talk sporting goods. We got a lot of stuff that we need to get to. Where we got to start this bad boy off is Wild Card Weekend is officially over. And boy, did it end with a Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Wild Card Weekend ended with a thud last night as the Rams beat up on the Vikings 27-9 in Arizona.
Not like this, Vikings. Not like this.
Sam Darnold reverted back to Sam Darnold. And that
was it. Was it his fault entirely?
Yes. Well, mostly. But here's the thing: I thought Sam Darnold was the best story in the NFL this year. I really
did.
He's
up there for sure.
Him being a guy that came in to the season with he was going to be backing up a rookie, and just to try to hang on and be around in the NFL. J.J. McCarthy goes down, and he is inserted into that starting role and leads that team to a 14-3 record, and played outstanding football for long stretches of that year. I mean, he was really good for long stretches of the season. Most of the season, he was really damn good. It does suck that the last two games that we will remember of Sam Darnold is back to old Sam Darnold that everybody kind of thought he was as a quarterback because of how fun it was to watch him for most of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it was. You're going to remember the last two games because those are the lasting impacts because of how it wasn't just it was bad, of how bad it was. I mean, the whole seeing ghosts thing, you saw it play out, except they weren't ghosts. They were like real manifestations of people as they absolutely pummeled him over and over and over again. The Rams have 9 sacks. They have 6 different players who registered at least 1 whole sack. Chris Shula just dialed it up from everywhere. I mean, it was... It was basically just, it was very reminiscent of what we saw, 2 weeks ago when the Lions did the same thing.
Yeah.
They didn't have a secondary because everybody was beat up, and you saw Aaron Glenn basically push the engage 8 button over and over and over again.
Well, last night it was different, though, because Mina Kimes had this, and I was watching the game going, I mean, they're not really doing anything that much that exotic as far as how many bodies they're bringing. They're just doing a lot of twists, stunts, pressure coming from different spots. Mina Kimes said this: the top 3 quarterbacks in quick pressure rate this weekend. So the guys who faced pressure the quickest in Wild Card Weekend. Would you take a guess on who they were?
Go on.
Well, you're not going to guess.
No.
Oh,
no,
yeah. Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
Justin Herbert, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love also makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Sam Darnold faced the quickest pressure on only 10% of his dropbacks, which was 10th of 12 quarterbacks.
Huh.
Yeah.
So is he holding the ball or guys not getting open?
Well, there was a little bit of both, right? Bo Nix, by the way, was 11th. Baker Mayfield was 12th in that. But and that's where you go, a lot of it was on Sam Darnold, because I will often give offensive lines a ton of credit and say, look, half of the sacks are not the offensive line's fault. It's the quarterback's fault, too. And in that game, you get sacked 9 times. Obviously, the offensive line did not have a great day. But at the same time, you look at it and you go, well, if you want to be honest about what Sam Darnold was doing as he was sitting back in the pocket, it was he got antsy. There was times where he was panicking. And then a big part of it is not identifying pre-snap where pressure would be coming from, right? Like, that's what quarterbacks get paid the big bucks for in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of people are saying Sam Darnold lost himself a lot of money.
What changed?
In
what
the last
changed
2 weeks?
For the last 2 weeks from... Because it wasn't like he was just game managing his way to production. Like, there were games all season long where he was good, where he won them games.
Pressure. What? I think pressure has a lot to do with it. I honestly do, because he was afforded the ability all season long to play loose and free, right?
Yeah.
And it was like,
no expectation.
You're playing with house money. And then the last 2 weeks of the season were, you have home field advantage throughout the playoffs and division title on the line against Detroit. And then you have a playoff game. I thought really the tone setter from the Los Angeles Rams was the opening drive, where they go down 7 plays, 70 yards, just dice through this Vikings defense that has been really stinking good. And they basically said, it's a playoff game. We're going to put the pressure on Sam Darnold to beat us. And the Vikings went 3 and out really quickly. Then LA gets back on the field and they end up getting a field goal, and Minnesota's defense starts to settle in a little bit. But you're in a 10-0 hole and the game just started, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're 10 minutes into the game. You're down 10-0. And so at that point, I was like, yeah.
Now it's getting ramped up.
Now that pressure just starts suffocating you a little bit more, a little bit more. And look, Minnesota responded with the field goal. If that Matthew Stafford flip forward that was ruled a fumble and was a scoop and score,
mm-hmm.
if that gets over, if that stays the scoop and score, I think that game looks a lot totally different.
Probably because the pressure kind of flips on its head.
You're at 10-10 at that point. You're at 10-10, and how much better are you feeling about it being in a 10-10 game where Sam Darnold can all of a sudden relax and breathe a little bit and say, all right, my defense bailed me out, I'm going to be okay. Well, as the game went on, the pressure got more and more, and you saw Sam Darnold just didn't perform very well. And he cost himself a lot of money, man.
Yeah, I mean, $50 million a year is out the window. I mean, that's the real. I mean, some team might talk themselves into it.
No, but I also think that wouldn't be in the best interest of Sam Darnold either, because there's got to be a level of awareness with Sam Darnold from the stops that he's been at
mm-hmm.
and everything he's gone through, that I'm not the guy who's going to make, you know, $20 or $30 million a year. 10 to 15 a year, but be on an amazing roster, that's where you're going to succeed with Sam Darnold.
You hope he's smart enough.
Now you're looking at it and you're saying, what does it look like for Sam Darnold where the two most pressure-filled games of the season, he's unable to win?
Well, I mean, the number of texts I got last night, hey, how do you like your new Raiders quarterback?
Ooh.
And I was like, yeah, they're not wrong. That's probably...
it's not going to go well.
It's an improvement over AOC, but is that the path they should go down? That's a topic for a different day. But, I mean, it makes the decision pretty simple for the Vikings, where they're going to go.
And, I mean, this is where Sam Darnold thrived. He had one of, if not the best receiver in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He had a budding star, not superstar, in Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. He has
Aaron Jones.
A really good running back in Aaron Jones. Like, you want to talk about weapons, he was surrounded mm-hmm. with them, right? And this was the Sam Darnold that we got. He's going to need that level of support around him to thrive in the NFL moving forward. And that was a tough way to go. But with all of those weapons that we just said, there's something that has to be said about this Rams team, because what they did
yes.
was inspired. We'll get to that after Will with SportsCenter.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Lost in all the conversation about Sam Darnold costing himself a lot of money was just how dang good the Rams looked last night. And when they have to go to Philly and they have to go on the road and maybe not be riding the emotional wave that they are right now, that looked like a Rams team, especially on the defensive side, that looked like they were just playing loose, free. And I don't, this is corny, but like for something bigger, right? Like how much everything that was going around in LA and the fact that they got mm-hmm. uprooted. And did you see the timeline that they popped up on the pregame show on ESPN on Countdown?
No.
It was like Thursday, fire start near facility, practice shortened, like players evacuated, all of a sudden, like the call to action, how everything happened with getting the game moved Friday. By Friday, Thursday, a fire starts near their facility. By Friday,
the game's got moved.
The entire team, their families, their pets are on planes to go to Phoenix. They have a shortened practice. By Saturday, they are back to full practice. Everything is business as usual. Sunday is like, all right, we've already sold 52,000 tickets to this game in 2 hours in Arizona.
36,000 were Rams fans, season ticket holders.
It was nuts to see just how quickly it all came together. Like, just think logistically of what it took to move a game completely from Thursday to Monday. Operations, everything.
You got
to
get people working in that building. Like, there's a lot of stuff. You got to make sure the field's ready to go, because otherwise you wouldn't have a field ready to go because Cardinals aren't playing.
Cardinals came up huge in this. The Bidwell family actually came up really big, and like, they're billionaires. They got the money. But like, to make it as homey as possible, like they matched all the paints on the field. They lined their practice field as close to what the Rams have theirs done as they possibly can. Like, they went above and beyond to make sure that this game went off. And when you see how well the Rams played, my goodness, man.
Yeah.
And they're getting performances from guys that you just would not expect. Because remember, Les Snead went F them picks. This past year, Jared Verse was the first-round pick since Jared Goff in 2016. This roster's built with a bunch of dudes that are second, third, fourth-round picks. And they're thriving right now.
Yeah, no, you look at the impact from the counting stats alone. Again, they end up with 9 sacks, 10 TFLs. And you look at it, you've got Neville Gallimore, which that sounds like somebody who was knighted from England.
Harry Potter character, Neville Longbottom.
Byron Young, okay. Michael Hoke, you're like, okay. Kobe Turner, like, you just kind of go down the list and you're like, guys that you don't expect to pop up on this, and it's just up and down the list of the impact from the front. Braden Fisk, who's been probably their most dominant defensive lineman this year, was the one that registered probably the least in the counting statistics last night, and yet up and down the defensive roster, you just had contribution after contribution after contribution.
He's a rookie second round pick,
and a teammate of Jared Verse.
That's crazy, man. Like, think of, like, Kyren Williams was a fifth-round pick. Puka Nacua, fifth-round pick. Mm-hmm. Steve Avila, their interior offensive lineman, second-round pick. Bo Limmer, offensive lineman, sixth-round pick. Fisk, second-rounder. Kobe Turner's a third-rounder. Byron Young, third-rounder. Kobe Durant, fourth-rounder. Kobe Durant, they stumble into that one because there's no way they have Kobe Bryant and Kevin Durant in one name. Holy smokes. Quentin Lake, sixth round pick. Cameron Kitchens, third round pick. Jalen McCullough, undrafted. That's 12 players that are playing significant roles for the Rams.
Impact football.
That they did it with one guy who's a first round pick in Jared Verse over the last 3 years. That is incredible. And then you see the mix of talent that they get with guys like Matthew Stafford, who's sitting there and showing you, still got it. Yeah. You know, Cooper Kupp, still got it. I mean, it's incredible what the Rams are doing.
No, and Matthew Stafford, like 19 to 27, 209, 2 touchdowns. It's not the best game you've ever seen anybody play. And if you look at the team stats, the drive summary type stuff, they're 2 of 9 on third downs.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like they were masterful offensively, but there was 3 throws that Matthew Stafford made. That one of them was to convert a third down where the blitz is in his face. He gets smacked around, layers it over the linebacker. They do the dive in slow-mo camera, and you see the linebacker spin and reach back, and the ball clears his finger by like maybe a half an inch. And you're like, poof, okay. And it drops right in the tight end's hands, right in front of the safety and for a first down. You just go, and Aikman, this is like a summary of what he said. He's like, you can talk about quarterback play in the NFL and the level that it's at and blah, blah, blah. There's 3 or 4 guys in the entire league that can make that throw, and he's one of them. He threw all of the scheme and all the other stuff. It's like, no, there's just some guys most guys can't make that throw. He can.
Yep.
And that's what that play was. And you just kind of went, whew, it's not your day, Vikings. It's just not your day.
Well, I mean, think of, like, you know, this text, Vancouver 4 text line, coaching and GM matters. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And Sean McVay is done an incredible job. There's a reason why, like, everybody that is on a staff with Sean McVay, people want to hire, including Kevin O'Connell, right? Raheem Morris goes and he gets another head coaching job, so they have to bring Chris Shula, who's a linebackers coach, and he's a first-year defensive coordinator. Defense comes up absolutely enormous in the biggest game of the year.
All season.
But that matters. The compatibility between Les Snead and Sean McVay to evaluate talent and say, like, that it's circulating now, the McVay saying, we're going to nail this fifth-round pick. It was Puka Nacua. Yeah, you nailed it. Mm-hmm. Pretty dang good. They do a really good job of evaluating guys that fit in the scheme and the system and what their roster needs the most, and you can find those gems in the later rounds of the draft. They do an incredible job at that, and they've done it several years. Like, they're stacking these drafts back to back to back. They lost Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
The most dominant defensive lineman.
Maybe ever.
Maybe ever, yeah. And they're like, we'll just go win a playoff round. You know, like, okay.
We'll go get this second round kid from Florida State named Braden Fisk, and he's going to be a guy that commands double teams every single snap. It's like, yeah. Okay. The thing is, and I think this is true, I was having the discussion, was it Saturday night, the Blazers game, just talking about, like, the connection between front offices and coaching staffs on identifying talent and, like, fits. And we were talking about it in the as it relates to styles in sports and how some of that is dying. The Rams, you take a look at Puka Nacua, I think specifically, personifies what they want. Like, they weren't out to try to get the next A.J. Brown. They weren't trying to get the next Justin Jefferson. Like, they said, hey, this guy is a good route runner, but what he does with the ball afterwards, and it's not it's with speed, it's with power. He's a running back in the open field. He seeks contact. He gets yak yards not through, you know, creating separation, but by playing physically. And that's the style that we want to employ. And they identify, like, a group of traits. And they say, we can work with X, Y, and Z. Hey, they don't have A or B, but they do have these. And within, like, and that's how you find these things that work. And it's like the style of the Rams makes sense. Like, if I asked you, like, what is kind of personified the Rams over the last 8 years since these guys have been working together? And it's, you want to say the McVay stuff as far as, like, the offensive genius, but they've been built through physical play.
Yeah, I think where they probably changed the most is that when you have a quarterback like Matthew Stafford, you mentioned two throws that he made, but it's that game control, right? Mm-hmm. It's identifying what is going to happen so you're not in trouble pre-snap and post-snap. That alleviates so much, and you can mask so much more of it. Like, they would not be this team with Jared Goff, and that's not a shot at Jared Goff, but because look at where Jared Goff is. He's the number one overall seed. You know, he is going to be the guy that is hosting the Commanders this week. And with Matthew Stafford, you have a guy that he's that doctor who can make sure all of the, he's like the ER doctor, right? Triage, making sure all the major bleeding stops, and then get you to a spot where then you can facilitate and distribute, because Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, two very good receivers. Mm-hmm. Tyler Higbee, who apparently he got hit in the chest. He was coughing up blood.
Ooh.
Traveled home with the team, and McVay said he expects him to play on Sunday.
I mean, if you're making the flight, he's okay, because if you're coughing up blood and it's a lung thing and you're not going to go to 30,000 feet.
That's crazy. Yeah. But those guys aren't the game breakers that you see, like, I don't know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, mm-hmm, and Jameson Williams and Sam Laporta, and the list goes on and on.
Like, guys that are, like, first, second, third best, right, in their position in the league.
And how quickly they've turned over the offensive line, which was the biggest issue for them, mm-hmm, right? They've done an incredible job, but having Stafford there really smooths everything over.
I mean, think about that team real quick, and, like, what they've lost in Whitworth and in Aaron Donald. Like, you just kind of, like, anchors and pillars of your franchise.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And just keep it moving. That is pretty insane. I know Les Snead is talked about as a good general manager. He's not given nearly the credit he should be, considering what they have built and how long this run has gone on for.
No doubt about it. Huge win for the Los Angeles Rams. And now they go back and kind of reality sets in. They don't know where they're going to practice moving forward, as they got a trip to Philly to take on the Eagles this Sunday. I have Philly news. We have Philly news. Big Dom's legend grows. Ooh. Next on The Fan.
Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
Rams beat the Vikings in the wild card round 27-9. Convincing win, 9 sacks. Sam Darnold with the most sack yardage taken since Cam Newton lost 91 yards of sack yardage. 82 yards backwards Sam Darnold went last night. Holy smokes. But in Philly, we know all about Philly fan. They are knuckleheads to the nth degree. Did you see the latest of Philly fan over the weekend and what they were up to?
No. What shenanigans we have now?
So there was video of a Packer fan and his wife were up in like the nosebleeds.
Oh, yes, I did see
this. And there was a fan back behind, like when something bad happened for the Packers, or they were close to getting a first down, but they didn't get it. There's a fan who obviously he'd been in their ear all game long, and he repeatedly calls this guy's wife the C word.
Mm-hmm.
Like, over
the fact
and
that
over again.
He was still conscious at the end of that video was of a shock to me.
And I think that it had to do with like the guy's buddies and the Packer fan probably knowing he was outnumbered because his wife was just like, don't do anything. Don't do anything. But the guy recorded it and he put it on social media. He's like, mm-hmm. Hey, can we find this guy?
Well, and by the way, the guy that took this video has a podcast with like 60,000 followers on it. So,
yeah.
Useful.
Yeah, it went viral. And leave it to none other than Big Dom, right? Big Dom, Dominic DeSandro. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who got thrown off the sidelines after he got in the middle of Dre Greenlaw and Devontae Smith last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they called it the jinx of Big Dom.
He actually did something cool like 2 weeks ago when Tanner McKee scored his first touchdown. A.J. Brown threw the ball in the stands to a fan and got A.J. Brown to give his game-worn jersey to the guy in exchange for the Tanner McKee ball.
Ooh.
Because A.J. screwed up throwing away Tanner McKee's first touchdown.
And he felt really bad about
it. Yeah,
that.
He was like, oh, my bad.
He felt really bad about it.
But yeah, Dom was the one who
Big Dom has found the fan in question,
mm-hmm.
and has gotten him, like, apparently this dude is kicked out forever. Big Dom has identified the guy and woman involved in this incident. The guy will be banned from future Eagles games. Eagles will be sending the woman Packers gear as an apology. Eagles, once again, showing what a class act organization they are. That from Derek Gunn. Big Dom identified this dude, and now
the whole internet identified the dude and his company. He apparently shut down his own LinkedIn and all of his social media because they found him very quickly.
Yeah. I mean,
if you're going to act like a D-hole like that, realize that you're going to get found very quickly.
Well, calling a woman the C-word is...
No.
Like, there's... I don't know if there's worse things that you can call.
No.
In America.
Yeah.
Over in...
England?
Jolly old London town, they throw that word around like it's nothing.
Australians, too.
Yeah.
All the time.
But, he's been banned from Eagles games.
Yeah,
so Eagles finally shown a little something. What I found surprising, though, was that, like, how many Eagles fans were like, this is not a representation of what Eagles fans are.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Stop it.
This is the 18th week of something happening on the internet where you have to say that.
This is like the Giants and Dodgers fans saying that their fan bases aren't sideways and toxic. And I'm like, yeah, you are.
No, we're misunderstood. No. I think we understand, and we started getting a pretty good idea when you threw ice balls with batteries in them at Santa Claus. No. Pretty sure that's when we figured it out.
Nothing new here.
Yeah. You guys had a jail in your stadium.
That rocks.
I bet you that place smelled worse than what we smelled at the Commanders at FedEx Field.
Is absolutely... It's a very niche representation, a very bad smell for those that don't know what the two of us smelled.
It was human poop.
It was sewage,
I remember the whole thing about it wasn't sewage leaking in the stadium in Washington. Yeah, it was.
There was a big poop smell. Well, Philly fans, you did it again. Big Dom to the rescue. The legend of Big Dom grows. All right, 503-864-6326. That be the Vancouver Ford tech side. Coming up hour number two, we'll talk some hometown team. Big game tonight.
Mm.
This
Tank off, baby.
It actually is a big game. This could have serious ramifications moving forward. But where we got to start, when a legend says that your job isn't that great anymore, that's pretty telling. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.